He looked so sweet and cute, but this was so wrong. I was able to trade it off of him, sanitized it as best I could. Mary's gonna have a strong immune system, don't worry.
Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. All right, guys, so I thought it'd be fun this week, and Madeline mentioned that a number of you had been emailing in asking for a podcast on this to talk about vet visits, okay, and how to make them not such like a scary experience for you as an owner and you as a dog and your dog, I should say. And you know, what would be the tips that we could use to make them kind of experiences that we look forward to rather than experiences that we don't look forward to, right? So obviously I've got a pretty unique perspective on this because I'm a vet, I'm a behaviorist, I'm a trainer. It's one of my favorite topics to talk on and teach on is actually how to teach dogs to feel great about the vets. And aside from that, there are sometimes just some strategy considerations that can, just little tweaks that right now could make a big difference to you and your dog. And before I dive into those, I want to highlight just how important it is that your dog is comfortable at the vets, or at least that you're able to get your dog to the vets and it not be totally traumatizing. Because often behavior and physical health are linked. Often in behavior consultations, we identify that there might, for example, be a pain component to a dog's behavior. It might be that their allergies, their itchiness are linked to their behavior. Their GI struggles, so they're kind of waxing and waning, diarrhea, vomiting, not really being all that hungry, linked to behavior. And you've almost got to take a multi-pronged attack on those things. And that as a team of veterinary professionals and behaviorists, we probably have a bit of a unique perspective on. So that was just, I guess, a little shout out to say, this is important. Don't put it on the back burner. Let's resolve this. Let's figure this out. So first things first, guys. Thinking about the build-up to going to the vets, my top tip would be to gather as much information as possible to be able to arm your vet with as much as you can arm them with so that you can get as much completed in that time. Now, bear in mind that many, you know, first opinion vet appointments, they might be 15 minutes long. Yeah, you know, some practices have 30 minute long appointments. That's great. Some practices don't. It might be 15 minutes. It might be 10 minutes. And so you want to be really organized going into that and actually say, right, I've got this, you know, this diary, this, stool diary as an example. I've got this photo of literally what my dog's stool looks like. I've got this video of them limping so that you can see it. Madeline's shocked. She's like, really? All these things are really useful and your vet is going to be really grateful for them. I think the other thing that can be useful that
a lot of clients of mine would do is they would write down what they want, all the information that they want to get across ahead of time. Because when you're in that environment and you're thinking about, you're worried about your dog, you're potentially managing their behavior in that environment, which I'll get onto in a second, and you can forget stuff. And then you leave and you're like, oh, I didn't mention this, this, and this. And then you're worried that, you know, the decision that was made in the consult wasn't the right decision, and things get really kind of protracted. Now, second thing that is a tip is avoid the wait room, avoid the waiting room. Let the reception team know that you have arrived for your appointment, and then just ask them to either wave out the window or just give your mobile a call when the vet is actually ready to see you. Because waiting rooms are really stressful. They're really unnatural environments for dogs. It would be great if we could control the behavior of every other person and every other animal. The reality is that we can really only take responsibility for ourselves and our pets, right? And so actually don't make yourself vulnerable to that. Avoid the waiting room, get them to wave out the window, then you can pop in. I'd actually go one step further than that and say, that's fine for a lot of dogs. For some dogs, I'd actually say, if you're in a climate that's appropriate and you can leave your dog in the vehicle, and you can go in without your dog, do all the information gathering bit of showing that your vet the video, showing your vet the photos, going through the history of here's what I'm concerned about, here's what happened, answering the vet's questions without your dog. Because then you've actually got, you know, headspace to be able to answer all these questions and figure these out, right? And then bring your dog in for the physical examination bit. Does that make sense, guys? Really, really valuable if you think that is going to help your dog. And of course, outside temperature obliging. Yeah, it might be that's not appropriate where you are. If it's not appropriate where you are, you could think about saying to your vet, look, I'll book a telephone consultation and we'll go through all of the history and everything. And then I'll book an in-person physical consultation to then do the physical examination because I find that works better for me and my dog. Yeah. Awesome stuff. Next tip, and this is a controversial, should I do the controversial one next? Yeah?
Go on.
Should I do it? Okay, yeah. Cool. Hey guys, I just want to take a little pause to let you know how you can get involved with the official Help My Dog membership hub. If you're enjoying geeking out about the science of dog behavior, want to watch dogs practically being trained in real life, and you want to progress even further, you can join our members-only community and get targeted learning with me each and every week to help you combat your dog struggles at home, on walks, and out and about. And right now, when you jump in, you can actually watch Gorse's behavior rehabilitation from trauma to triumph in an over-the-shoulder video diary showing real-life situations. To find out more, just head over to www.helpmydog.com/hub. Sometimes it is much kinder to your dog and kinder to you and kinder to the professionals to allow them to do, you know, an even better job if actually your dog is, for example, sedated, okay? And the reason why I say that is because I see this a lot where it would have been ideal to gather, I don't know, certain information. Like, for example, it would have been ideal to take a certain amount of blood to do various different tests. It would have been ideal to do a full oral examination. It would have been ideal to have a really good palpate and feel of the abdomen. But we kind of got like a little bit of all of those things, but not quite everything that we wanted. And the dog got really, really, really stressed in the process. And actually, the dog could have had an injection, could have drifted off to sleep. Everything could have been done and more, right? While they're asleep, literally can be like, right, I'm going to, you know, trim their nails, we're going to x-ray, we're going to ultrasound, we're going to do everything. And then they wake up and they've not had a traumatic experience and they don't hate the vets more. And the vets have got all the information that they need and more at this point. So we can make an even more informed next step. So there's less back and forth and less intervention long term. And you're happy. And actually, and again, I can tell you this from experience, that will be cheaper than going down the route of little bits, over a really long time, that will be more expensive, okay, than just getting everything organized and getting everything, all that information gathered in one sitting. Does that make sense, guys? I hope that makes sense. And I know it's controversial because having your dog sedated, it can be, can seem like a daunting thing. And the reality is, depending on the protocol of the practice, they'll have one injection, they'll go to sleep, they'll have another injection, they'll wake up. Yeah, the sedation gets reversed with a second injection once all the information has been gathered. Awesome. Next tip that I've got for you is if your dog is having that injection, right, or if your dog is having something done where they might not enjoy it, they might not, it might not be a pleasant experience. Maybe they've got a sore joint, right? I don't know. They've got a sore shoulder and the vet has to maneuver that shoulder and it's going to cause pain, then what we've got to realize is that dogs are learning all the time. They're figuring out, you know, it's the main driver of animal behavior, avoiding pain and discomfort, seeking out pleasure, right? But avoiding pain and discomfort is the main way that dogs learn about the world. That is not something that they want to experience. And so they figure out what predicts pain and discomfort. They figure out what predicts the traumatic experience. Now, they're going to learn that no matter what. What we need to be aware of is what we want them to learn. And what we don't want them to learn is that somebody approaching them and touching them is a predictor of pain and discomfort. What we don't want them to learn is that a vet, who is an essential part of their life, is a predictor of pain and discomfort. What we don't want them to learn is that the vet building is a predictor of pain and discomfort. What we don't want them to learn is that people with a certain hair color are a predictor of pain and discomfort, or people dressed in a certain way, or people who smell a certain way. Because all of these things are going to pop up later in their life, some more than others. If a dog learns that people approaching them and touching them is a predictor of pain and discomfort, that's a big impact on their life because people will approach them generally every day, right? People will touch them. You will touch them. And so we've got to decide what we want them to learn in that context. And that's where we can get creative. Now, one way that we can teach them a better thing to learn is if anything painful, discomfort, scary is going to happen to them, pop them on the vet table. There'll be a table in the vet office, pop them on that. Because then they think the table is the enemy, not the person approaching them on the floor, right? So that can be one way to it. If your dog's too big to go on the table, have a really specific predictor. I mean, we've had all kinds of things in the behavior clinic that we've used as predictors. We've had a traffic cone that comes out when something might be painful or uncomfortable, and it's the traffic cone is the villain. We have had a polka dot blanket that is the villain that comes out. And it can be anything, right? It can be whatever you want it to be. A cone or an object or a particular pattern of blanket, popping them on the table. They're all very easy kind of accessible things, but it can be anything. That comes out, then the bad thing happens. And hopefully it's not a bad thing. And we'll do so much to make sure that it's not a bad thing, but we have to accept that no amount of conditioning is gonna, you know, I don't like having my blood taken. I don't like it. And I'm aware it's needed. I'm aware it's, you know, not a scary thing. I'm aware I'm not gonna lose a limb from it. I've taken blood from animals I don't know how many times. But while it's happening, I'm like, oh, and I dread it. Yeah, I really dread it whenever I have to. Even an injection is, I'm just like, oh no, I'm such a, you know, big baby. But I don't like it because it is painful. Why are you laughing? Because I am a big baby, aren't I? I go totally white. Like I'm just, and yet I used to spend my life taking blood from things with their consent, just to clarify, I'm a vet. So we've got to accept it can't be nice all the time. And rather than, you know, prolong the experience and try and make it nice, but then almost effectively trick them into the bad experience, and then they've learned all of these predictors and also learned that sometimes we trick them, so they start to get a bit suspicious of our movements and our actions, instead say, we can't avoid this, let's control what they can learn. Does that make sense, guys? I hope so. So final tip that I've got for you is please, please, please realize that your vet is on your team, okay? I know that there's a lot out there vet bashing, right? And talking about how vets are, you know, bad people and, you know, they're greedy and only interested in blah, blah, blah. Your vet did not become a vet for any of those reasons. Your vet became a vet because they're passionate about animals. They're passionate about the human animal bond. They're passionate about helping. They're passionate about turning effectively optimizing the welfare of animals and trying to give every animal a great quality and quantity of life. That's why your vet's a vet, yeah? And they want to be on your team. And you need to have them on your team because that's going to mean that you're going to be able to, you know, give your dog the gift of a great quality of life and a great quantity of life and really, you know, achieve that relationship between you and your dog that is possible, right? It's possible for each and every one of you. And so that means involving them in stuff. That means having conversations. That means potentially looping them into the bigger picture of what is going on in your dog, with your dog, because then when you're all working as a team together and you're all clear about what the goal is, we can all work to make that goal happen and make that goal achievable. Everybody that has a behavior consult, we communicate with that animal's general vet, right? We send them a letter telling them what's happening. And the reason why we do that is because it's important. You know, we've got this opportunity for a team, and that is how we're going to unlock the best results. So on the subject of the best results, have we got any cringe stories, Madeline?
We do.
Okay.
Many a cringe story.
Cool. And of course, these are probably not the best results, but they're probably incredibly funny. So let's have a little look. I was babysitting my then 6-month-old granddaughter, Mary, and it was time for her nap. She had been rolling around on a blanket on the floor, so I picked her up, placed her gently in the crib, and then let my 7-month-old Boston Terrier puppy, Buddy, out of his crate. Mary began crying, and I tried to figure out what was wrong. She was fed, had a clean diaper, and then I discovered I had no idea where her precious pacifier had gone. Oh no, oh Mary. I looked across the room to find Buddy looking at me from his bed. Oh no, bright pink pacifier firmly plugged in his little brachycephalic face. Oh! He looked so sweet and cute, but this was so wrong. I was able to trade it off of him, sanitized it as best I could. Mary's going to have a strong immune system, don't worry. Then I gave it to the baby. Order was restored, and I never mentioned it to the parents until now.
You know, we got a culprit who did that as well, the first time meeting my friend Lee. Who do you think it was?
Thistle.
Yeah. She found a nice little dummy, but she was so cute and gentle with it, I actually let her keep it. She looks so cute, I
really. And every night Thistle insists on having her dummy ahead of her bedtime. Madeline would absolutely love that if that actually happened.
It could be a nice addition to Thistle and Gorse's bedtime routine.
Yes, which is already prolonged. Right, so next one. I'm happy for you to use Boodle's real name. He is sadly no longer with us. I still cringe at this memory. After I retired, I lived on a canal narrowboat for many years with my sidekick, Boodle, who was a big black retrolley. Retrolley. Retriever collie. Oh, retrolley. Interesting. He lived in a house until he was about 9 months old. But at the time of this incident, he was 4 and a half and a proper boat dog. One day, I met two nice couples of about my age walking the Thames path without their dogs, and we got chatting. I invited them on board for coffee, and they decided that cruising a little way on the river was not cheating. So we cruised up to Chertsey and had a pint in a pub, after which they continued their walk. That's so nice.
Oh.
Yeah, am I invited on your boat? I'd like that. Anyway, please email. No. We stayed in touch, and a couple of weeks later, one of the couples hosted Sunday lunch at their home, close to the River Thames, a little further upstream. It was a very nice old house. I would call it comfy posh. I love that. I would call it comfy posh, full of antiques and antique rugs and things, and their two greyhounds and a terrier. We went for a walk, came back, had a lovely lunch, and as we were leaving, Boodle calmly lifted his leg and peed on a beautiful antique grandfather clock standing in the hallway right in front of everyone. I was so embarrassed. Of course, I apologized profusely, but the air had turned icy. And I left quickly, and I never heard from them again. Secretly, I think Boodle wasn't the first dog to mark that clock, as he had never peed anywhere indoors in his life before. Oh, that's so unfair they didn't stay in touch. That's awful.
I mean, awkward for all involved.
He can... I mean, I don't have a grandfather clock, but if he weed on it, we'd still be friends. Invite me on the boat. Yes. Awesome, guys. So that was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. And please send your cringe stories, because Madeline loves reading them and loves making me read the really horrendous ones. Thankfully, those two were not. I'm very pleased about. We'll see you next time. And yeah, I'm excited to hear some more cringe stories. I think next time we will talk about, because it's been one of the most requested topics over the past week or so, calmness and achieving calmness. So if you're up for that, tune in next week and we will see you next time. Stop right there. Before you go, it's my mission to get you to your dream that you imagined when you first got your dog. Those walks with freedom, those walks where you're not worrying about what's around the next corner. Maybe actually being able to leave the house rather than, you know, your dog having separation anxiety and it limiting you. And one way that we do that is through the BehaveVet Behavior Clinic. I started it over a decade ago. They're a team of over 10 clinicians that are veterinary professionals, behaviorists, trainers that I have trained, and they do this day in, day out. These transformations take dogs from reacting to 10 out of 10 dogs to having close and successful interactions. The only thing stopping you from accessing that service is getting in touch. Now, the other thing to say is if you're insured with Pet Plan, Many Pets, Kennel Club or Agria in the UK, we do direct claims with them, which means you can get an entire behaviour transformation covered by your insurance and an out-of-pocket expense to you of just £25. So guys, if you want to find out more about booking a remote Zoom consultation with the BehaveVet Behaviour Clinic, all you need to do is go to behavevet.vet/HMD. www.behavet.vet/HMD. And if you want to hear some of our recent wins, then head on over to Trustpilot and search BehaveVet.